This is Good Hope Through Grace and also our Sunday school class for today. I'd like to welcome each of you here and each of you that's listening by way of radio. I'd like to welcome you to our broadcast. We're doing a study through the book of Romans, and we've been in the book of Romans for over a year. And the part we're in now is Romans chapter 12. And Romans 12 through 16 really focuses on practical Christian living. Chapter 1 through 11 focuses mainly on salvation and the different doctrines that are associated with our salvation. But then when you get into chapter 12, it just mainly focuses on practical Christian living. Now, today we're going to look at a tough text, verses 17 through verse 21 of the Romans chapter 12. And we'll have to give this a title, and we're going to title this, When People Do You Wrong. When People Do You Wrong. The Bible has a lot of instruction with regard to that. Now, it's not a matter of if that's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. There's going to be somebody that does you wrong in this old world. And it might happen over and over again, but you're going to face it. It might be someone on your job. It might be someone in your family. It might even be someone in your church. That's something that you're going to see happen and you're going to experience happening. Well, God's Word gives us instructions for how to handle that. And God's people are to handle things a whole lot differently than people of the world handle things. Do you not agree? In other words, our response to being doing wrong is to be different than the way the world responds to be doing wrong. And what the problem is today is many times God's people's response is just the same as the world is. And one of the clear-cut distinctions between God's people and people of the world should be how they respond to be doing wrong. So we're going to give several in this message entitled, When People Do You Wrong. We're going to give you do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. And we're going to mix the do's and don'ts together. And that's because the text does. I'm just going to try to go by the text. So let's look at verse 17. And let's show you in this text. I don't. Verse 17. It says recompense, and the word recompense means to pay back. Don't you love to pay back? Don't you love to pay back? Well, sometimes we like to pay back evil for evil, don't we? We could sometimes call that sweet revenge. Well, here it says recompense. It means pay back to no man evil for evil. Pay back to no man evil for evil. So the first in this, how to respond when people do you wrong, don't do evil. When you're evil treated or you're done wrong or someone does you in a way that's not right, the first don't is don't you do evil. If you're not careful, what someone does to you will cause you to act in a bad way, in an evil way, and in an unchristian way. God wants us to act in a godly way that represents Him. Remember, in every way we live, we represent Jesus. How we respond to being doing wrong, as I've already said, is to be different than the way the world does. So the first don't is don't do evil. Now, I want you to keep your place here, and I got to be real careful about what I'm about to do. I want you to turn to Psalms 37. And Psalms 37 gives you a formula for evil treatment, a formula to go by. And I could just easily preach on this, but and I have. It's we got it on our Internet site. Plus, I've done it on the radio, I think, before. But it gives you a formula in the text of what to do when you've been done wrong. And it's a really good little message in Psalms 37. Preached from it many times. Psalm 37. Now, I'm just going to give you some of the things that list to do, okay? And some of the things not to do. Now, remember, our first in this message entitled, When People Do You Wrong, the first truth that I wanted to give you is don't do evil. You got to remind yourself of that because that's not what your flesh wants to do. My flesh wants to pay back in kind. But I don't want to give in to my flesh, do I? Since I represent Jesus, I want to respond in such a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Now, Psalm 37 deals with evil treatment. And like I said, there's a little formula here, and I'll give you the formula without preaching on it. Does that sound good? because the formula in of itself is it's a really good little message that the Lord gives us in His text. Okay, look at Psalms 37 and the verse 1. This is the Psalm of David. It says, to fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, do you know what the word fret means? It means to fume. That's exactly what it means. It means to fume. That means someone does something to you. Have you ever done it? I'm not the only one in the house that's ever done that. Someone does something to you, and you roll over in your mind what that low life did to you. And as time goes on, you begin to fume. It means to be hot. And that's the idea of the word fret. So you got fret not in verse 1. Look down in verse 7. It says, look at the middle part of the verse. Fret not thyself because of him that prospers in the way. Look down at verse 8. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So three times it tells you not to fret. What does fret mean again? It means to fume. Now here's what you do when you fume. I know it well, and all of you know it well. You replay over and over again in your mind what that person did. And over time, what does that do to you? It works you up into a rage. And you know, I've had this happen, and I'm sure you've seen it before. I've had somebody, maybe 2 weeks ago, someone did something to somebody. And 2 weeks has went, and they fumed on that thing for 2 weeks. And then they went up to the person 2 weeks later and said, you remember what you done to me 2 weeks ago? And then they went at it. And you thought, well, they wasn't that mad 2 weeks ago, but as they thought about it, they fumed on it. It escalated in their mind, the situation. So I'm sure every one of us here knows what it means to fume, to replay it. And it's just like a pressure cooker. When you're fuming, that's what it is. It's just like a pressure cooker that it's beginning to get stronger. And as you fume, it gets bigger. What's that going to lead to? It leads to an explosion. Husband and wives does that. She might get mad because you complain because she burnt the biscuits, you know, or something of that nature. And then a few weeks goes by and then she has an explosion. Well, maybe she just exploded over something small. But really it wasn't about that. It was about what you said 2 weeks ago. And she had 2 weeks to fume on that thing. And then it led to, you did just a little something that set off that pressure cooker. But she'd been fuming on that thing for 2 weeks. Does everybody see what I'm saying? So that's the idea of the word fret. Everybody knows what it means now. Three times it tells you not to do it. Fretting takes over your mind. You see, when I've done this message, I entitled it The Battle of the Mind. Much of the Christian battle is in the mind. If the devil can control your mind, he can control you. So when someone does something wrong to you, and I'm that way, you'll replay that over and over again in your mind. You fume. It takes over your thinking. And when it takes over your mind, usually where do you hear it from? It'll come out your mouth. I can tell when someone's fuming. I can tell usually by their disposition, but I can also tell by their mouth. Their mouth will reveal it. It almost always does. Because you'll reveal what you're thinking through here. This is a vent line. You'll reveal it through the vent line. And you'll fume. You'll be thinking it. You'll develop into a rage. And then it comes out your what again? Comes out your mouth. That's why the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Because if you don't take care of that thing quickly, then what happens is that pressure cooker, that fuming happens. And it's going to head for what again? It heads for an explosion. So everybody now understands what fret not? We're not to fret in any wise to do evil. It's never right for God's people to do wrong. It's never right for God's people to do wrong. And when we do wrong, sometimes we'll give a good reason for it. I had a right to do that. No, it's never right for God's people to do wrong. So that's the first. Don't do evil. And a part of not doing evil is dealing with your mind, fretting not. Now, let me see how much time I got here. Let's stay in Psalms 37. I'll give you a real quick outline of this. Does that sound good? You see, the first says, fret not. When someone does you evil, when someone's an evildoer and does you wrong, He warns you not to fret because it takes over your mind and leads to what again? Leads to an explosion. Always does. What else does he tell you to do? Look at what it says at verse 5. It says, commit thy way to the Lord. The word commit means to roll it on the Lord. The word commit means to roll it. In other words, the best illustration I could use on it is like carrying shingles. I'm not a great ripper, but I was always a good shingle man. I could carry them. And when you carry shingles, you put them up on your shoulder and you go up the ladder. And hopefully, if you're doing a good shingle job and you got plenty of help, you got a roof man, Jay. You got a roof man up there. And when you get that heavy burden to the top of that ladder, you roll that bundle of shingles off on the man on the roof. A whole lot easier doing it that way. But because when you have to go up the ladder and then get off on the roof and then set it down on the roof, it's harder. Well, but when you get up to the top of the ladder and you've got that shingle, you roll that burden off on the roof man. You see what I mean? You let that burden go upon him. So when we've been done wrong, not only do you not fume, which is easier said than done, instead of fuming, you roll that on the Lord. Remember, we're going to see tonight, as far as rolling it is concerned, we're going to see how very, very important it is to do that. And one of the ways you deal with fuming is by rolling it on the Lord. Instead of carrying it yourself, you take it to Jesus and you roll it on Him, because vengeance belongs to who? And vengeance belongs to the Lord. So you take it to Him, you roll it on Him. Aren't you glad you got someone you can go and roll things on? You can roll it on Him. And you're to do that with every burden. You're to roll that on the King. And He can handle it, can't you? Can He? He can handle it. So that brings us to the next word in this formula. You'll notice it says down in verse 3, not only are we to roll things on Him, but it says in verse 3, to trust in the Lord. When you roll something on the Lord, it means you trust Him. I mean, when we go up that ladder carrying shingles, we don't roll that on a 98-pound young man there. We make sure whoever's up there we're rolling and one's able to handle the shingle. We don't want them to drop the bundle on the preacher going up the ladder. We make sure the guy we rolled on can handle the load. Jesus can handle the load. And we have the honor of rolling that on Him. So we trust Him. We trust Him. See, what it is, we don't want people to get by with things. People won't get by with things. People won't get by with things. The Lord will take care of things. Well, that's all I can do with that. There's about three other things. There's a great message out of Psalm 37. But we're doing Romans. We're doing Romans. And again, the message is entitled, When People Do You Wrong. Our first, we're looking at do's and don'ts. Our first don't is don't do evil. All right, let's notice the next one. I thought this one was really good. Back to Romans chapter 12. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Is that a command or an option? Let me ask you. Is that a command or an option? That's a command. We view things as optional. We pick and choose in the Bible what we're going to obey. But this is a command. The Lord wants us to do it. Okay? Now it says here's the next one. And this is a do. It says, do provide things honest in the sight of all men. You see that in verse 17? To provide things honest in the sight of all men. Some translations have this in it. And I think it's, if you look up that word provide, it means to give thought to. It means to give thought to. And what it carries the idea of giving thought to how to provide things honest in the sight of all men. In other words, you're to give thought how you're going to respond to evil treatment. The problem with us is we'll blow before we have time to think what we're getting ready to do. You need to think how you're going to respond to it. You choose how you're going to respond to it. But if I can just have time to think, I want to respond in such a way as glorifies the Lord. I want to respond in such a way as exalts Him. So you seek to provide. How can I respond to this thing that's good and honest in the sight of all men? See, you're thinking about how you're going to respond. I've responded before without thinking. Have you? Have you ever responded before without thinking? And you responded in a horrible way, didn't you? And after you responded, have you ever done this? Have you ever responded in such a way that after you responded that way, you thought, I wished I had never said that, or I wished I had never responded that way? How many haven't we all done that? And that's because we didn't go with that word provide there. It means to give thought to. Think about your response. Now, I don't want to respond this way. I want to respond this way because God wants me to respond that way. You see, if you can only think before you speak and you can only think before you act, you'll be so much better off. Do you not agree? Especially when someone does you wrong. Because we're programmed to an explosion that quick because of our flesh. But God's people, remember, the book of Romans is addressed to the church at Rome. He's speaking to a church. And in these epistles, he's telling us how to respond when we're doing wrong. So do provide things honest in the sight of all men. That means to think before you act. Think before you speak. And here's always good to do. Remember, if you're saved, the Bible says that you are an ambassador for Jesus. You're an ambassador for Christ. That means you represent Him. And how you respond is going to reflect back on Him. Do you not agree? When people in your job know you're saved, how you respond is going to reflect back on the one that you represent. And if I can think about that, Jay, before I speak or act, it'll help me to respond better. Problem is, we don't think. We don't think. We blow and we say things and we do things that if we'd have took time to think, we'd have been so much better off. You got the first two, don't do evil, and then number two, do things that are honest. Think about how to respond before you speak or act. Now let's go to the third one. This is also a do. Now it says in verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Now there's some people that won't make peace with you. No matter what you do, they're not going to like you. And maybe you've had history in the past and they just won't make up with you. They don't want reconcile with you. They won't be peaceful to you. But it says as much as lies in you, you live peaceably. Whether they want to or not doesn't have no control how you react. As much as lies in you, you live peaceably with all men. Now I want to give you a text in 2 Timothy 3 to go along with this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I will give you a word here that I want you to remember. Are you ready? 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice what it says in verses 1 through 3. It gives you a description of how people's going to be in the last days. How people will be in the last days as far as their actions. Now, look at verse 3. Without natural affection. One of the signs of the last days is people's not going to have a natural affection. Okay, and I'm going to leave that lay. That's a great sermon when you talk about that one. Without natural affection. Now, does everybody see the word truce breaker in verse 3? Now, when you say a truce breaker, what's a truce breaker? You think of someone that breaks a truce. You have a truce with somebody and then they break it. But that's not the idea of the word. The idea of the word, it's the word aspendos. In the Greek text is the word aspendos. And it means someone that will not make a truce. In other words, no matter what you do, they won't have peace with you. And they don't want peace with you. And they won't have it. God's people in the scriptures are said we are to be peacemakers, not troublemakers. We're to be peacemakers. And here this says let's go back to our text in Romans chapter 13. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12. In this text, it says as much as lies in you, you live peaceably with all men. I mean, whether that person wants to have peace with you or not, it's not going to change the fact that I'm still going to try to make peace with them. And I'm going to still leave that door open for them. See what I mean? I have no control over them. but I have control over how I treat them. You see what the difference? That's why it says, as much as lies in you, you live peaceably. You're God's child. He called you to a higher standard of living than the world is. So we're to seek to live peaceably with people. Okay? Whether they want to live peaceably with you or not has no difference over how whether you seek to live peaceably with them. You don't seek to escalate the problem with them. Everybody got what I'm saying? Because it can be, especially if someone won't have peace with you. It hurts too, doesn't it? That's a very difficult situation when someone just absolutely won't have peace with you. But what can happen is they will pull you into doing wrong. See what I mean? They'll pull you into it. That's why the Lord has that here, because that's part of it. So as far as we're concerned, whether that person will have peace with us or not, has no difference. Makes no difference with regard to how we treat them. We're to provide for things that make for peace. We're to provide for things that makes for peace. Okay? All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Avenge not yourself. But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now that's a big subject, not to avenge yourself. But I want you to understand, it doesn't mean you don't prosecute a criminal. I want you to understand that. I've had people quote that, and when someone prosecutes a criminal. But I want you to turn to Romans 13. You're not to avenge yourself, but you're to allow the government authorities to take care of evildoers. See, that's what it's referring to. If you look at Romans 13, it talks about the government. And we'll visit that, Lord willing, next week. It says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. There's no power but of God. The powers, that's talking about your government. The powers that are ordained of God. Okay? Notice verse 4, for he is still, and when you study the context of Romans 13, it's talking about your government. If you look down in the text, it tells you to pay your taxes too. Verse 7, render unto their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whose custom. Tribute is taxes. It tells you to pay your taxes. And one reason why it tells us to pay our taxes is verse 4. For he, talking about the government, is the minister of God for thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain, for he's the minister of God to a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. So it doesn't mean you don't prosecute a criminal, but you're allowed the government to do that. Vengeance doesn't belong to you there. See what I mean? So I've had people take this text, pull it out of its context, and use it as, well, you shouldn't prosecute a murderer or a thief. No, you need to get them off the streets, or you couldn't even live here. You're allowed government to do that, but you're not to take the justice for yourself. You're allowed the authorities that God provided to do that. Now, that's a broad subject, and I ain't got time to cover all the ins and outs of that, but I just wanted to mention that right now. So we're not to avenge ourselves. That's matters of personal offenses. That's mainly matters of personal offenses. Now, the reason why we're not to avenge ourselves is given in the text. He says that vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So when we step over and start doing vengeance, then we're stepping over into God's department. God don't want you to step in over in his department because you won't do it right. You'll do it wrong. He'll do it right. One way he might do it, he might just save your soul. You know what I mean? But he will do it right. You allow him that privilege, and that's his privilege. This is in the Old Testament scriptures too. We're to allow him to take vengeance. Sometimes you can go up and beyond vengeance too. Sometimes you can respond back in such a way as to ruin your testimony, ruin your name, go over. I mean, it looks bad when God's people respond in a vengeful type way, especially before unbelievers. Don't you agree? The book of Exodus is cool. Let's turn to the book of Exodus chapter 22. I like this text. So we're not to avenge ourselves. We're allowed the Lord to do the vengeance. If it's a matter of criminal prosecution, we're allowed the government to do that. Exodus, I think, is chapter 22. mean you don't defend yourself either. I think there's a time when a person needs to defend themselves, but they don't need to go above that. I mean, protect their life. Notice in the Old Testament, it says, verse 1, if a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, you shall restore 5 oxen for an ox or 4 sheep for a sheep. Verse 2, if a thief be found breaking up, what's a thief mean? Somebody breaking in your house. If a thief be found breaking and he be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. So in the Old Testament law, if someone's breaking in your house and you're defending your family and you kill that person, it says no blood shall be shed for them. This is in Old Testament law, okay? And this is if it's at night. Because if it's at night, you don't know what they're doing, aren't you? You don't know if they're there to kill your family or you. So in the Old Testament law, if you defended yourself in that fashion, your family in that fashion, there wasn't no bloodshed for you. But I want you to notice verse 3. This is cool. But if the sun be risen upon him, this is daytime, there shall be bloodshed for him. Or he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Now, if it's in the daytime and he's breaking in, you see him have your stuff and he's going out the door with it, you don't kill him over that. You know he's there just stealing something. And your stuff ain't worth shedding a man's blood over. I heard somebody the other day say, somebody still hold my bass boat, I'd kill him. Your bass boat ain't worth somebody killing and shedding. You see what I mean? That's why if it was done in the day, that's why you weren't permitted to kill him under Old Testament law. That's the reason why it was, because your stuff isn't worth a man's life. You see the importance? But if it was at night, you didn't know if it's after you're going to kill your children or anything of that nature. So you need to keep that in mind. So we don't avenge ourselves. Next, we do good. Back to our text in the book of Romans chapter 12. Be not overcome of evil, verse 21, but overcome evil with good. Now let me give you all 5 of them together. How do you respond to those who do you wrong? You don't do evil. You do think before you act. You do, as far as you're concerned, live peaceably. You don't avenge yourself. And you do good. May God add his blessings to his word.